month we were in we finished up a series in Haggai, and one of the things that we left off from Haggai was this understanding that really God has made you alive for this very day, to be about His kingdom work. That you are alive essentially today for His eternal kingdom purposes. And we were challenged to be ready. We were challenged to stay focused. We were challenged to see everything that we do and that everything that God has put in front of us and before us here and now, and challenged to see that as that is significant in the grand scheme of things for His kingdom, His eternal kingdom. For somehow, some way, we might not understand it. We may not be able to see it, but just understanding and accepting that God has called us to be alive at this allotted time in history, to be about His kingdom work and to be about His kingdom mission. And that is what God has done for us. And that's what He's called us to. And that's what we've been challenged with. And I truly believe something. We said one last thing at the end of Haggai, at the end of that series, we said, I actually believe 100% that God is about to bless His harvest. And I'm not talking about a harvest of crops. I'm talking about a harvest of people. I believe that God is about to bring in a new generation, a new wave of people who are going to be redeemed by His blood and brought to salvation and encountered with His grace and the knowledge of how good He is. And I truly believe that, and I believe that God is going to bless the work of our hands. That as we go about and say, hey, God, I am your kingdom messenger here on this earth to do what you called me to do. I'm just going to be faithful. I don't know what it's going to amount to, but God, I'm just going to be faithful. And I truly believe with everything inside of me that God is going to bless the work of His hands. He's going about to bless His harvest in a mighty, mighty way. And so this morning, we're going to kind of follow up from that and see a little bit more of this and the context of what we're talking about. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 22, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew 22 is a story. Jesus is about to tell a parable to some Pharisees and some religious leaders. And it's very important that you understand that He's talking directly to them. Jesus is standing in the temple, and right now the Pharisees and the high priests and the religious leaders are all listening in, and I'm sure other people were listening in as well. And just before Jesus says this story to them and gives them this illustration about the kingdom of God, He looks them straight in the face, and He is direct with them. He is absolutely blunt with them, and He looks them straight in the face, and He says, hey, guess what? The kingdom of God is actually going to be stripped from your hands. It's going to be stripped directly from your hands, and it's going to be entrusted. It's actually going to be given into the hands of people who are actually going to produce the type of fruit, the type of righteousness that God is looking for. And He's direct with them. This is in chapter 21. This is the context. And He looks them direct in the face. He says, it's going to be people like the prostitutes. It's going to be people who are the corrupt tax collectors. It's going to be the people who are unseemingly unworthy of God's kingdom. Those are the ones that are going to inherit the kingdom. And they're going to inherit it before you do. He says it directly to His face, direct and blunt. He says, those that you have perceived as unfit, those that you perceived to be unworthy of the kingdom of God, that's where the kingdom of God is going to be going to. Those are the people who are going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so what Jesus is doing in this moment is he's directing the authority of the nation of Israel, the high priests and the religious leaders, and in this one moment He is dismantling this disgusting stench of religiosity. And instead He's establishing His blueprint for what His kingdom is going to look like. He's tearing down their false perception, their false ideals of how things are going to be, and He replaces it with, this is the truth of how it's actually going to be. And so that's where we're going to pick up in chapter 22, verse 1. We're going to read the whole thing, and then we're going to kind of break it down to see what God is looking at and trying to say to us this morning. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them in parables. So again, He's talking to the religious leaders. He's talking to the Pharisees, the chief priests, the high priests. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who's having a wedding feast for his son. And he sends out his servants. Now that word servant is very important because it means bond servant. Which, for those of you, it means that these are people who are not enslaved to the king. These are not people who are forcibly bound to the king. These are people who say, God, because of your benevolence, oh king, because you've been so good to my life, because you've been so amazing and you've shown me so much compassion and kindness and benevolence in my life, it is my joy to serve you for the rest of my life. And so a servant here, the word bond servant means that I'm choosing to be the servant of my king forever. I'm choosing to be hip in hip, like bound to the hip to my king because of how good he's been to my life. And so he says he sends those servants out, his bond servants. He says, I sent out his bond servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. And again, he sent out other servants. So he sends out servants a second time and saying, tell those who have been invited, see, look, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat calves, they've all been slaughtered. Everything's ready. Come and be a part of this incredible banquet, this wedding feast for my son. It's going to be awesome. Come on, guys, you're invited. But they paid no attention, and they went off, one to his own farm, one to his other business. And while the rest of those who were invited actually seized the king's servants, seized them, captured them, and treated them shamefully and killed them, the king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those who murdered and burned their city. And then he said to his bondservants again, the wedding feast is ready. This party is happening. With or without them, this party's happening. I'm putting on a party for my son. We're celebrating this thing. He says, but those who were invited are not worthy. So go, therefore. He says to his servants, he says to his bondservants, those who have chosen to live for him and go about doing everything that he wants them to do. Go, therefore, to the main roads, the highways, the busy intersection, the place where people cross, the disparity, the place where all different types of people are gathering together. Go to the main roads and invite them to the wedding feast, as many as you can find. And those servants went out into the roads, and they gathered all whom they could find, both bad and good, so that this wedding hall would be filled with guests. Verse 11, then the king comes on the scene, and he comes into the wedding hall, and he looks at the guests, and he saw there a man with no wedding garments. And he said to him, he looks him in the face, he said, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And then the king said to the attendants, bind him up hand and foot. Cast him into the outer darkness, because in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but only few are chosen. Now, there's a lot going on in this text, right? There's a lot going on in this text. And for the sake of time this morning, I want to highlight three things that step out and that jump out to us that we're going to focus on this morning. We're going to see how it applies to us. First, I want to look at the invitations that were sent out. Then we're going to look at the RSVPs. How did the people reply? How did they respond to this invitation? And thirdly, we're going to look at the correct wedding attire. Invitations, RSVPs, and wedding attire. And so Jesus, what he's doing in this story, in this parable, this illustration, is he's graciously revealing to us a picture, a glimpse of how it's going to end. That there one day there's going to be this incredible feast. There's going to be this awesome banquet, a party like you've never even seen, a party like the universe has never seen. And it's going to be hosted by the creator of all things. He's about to put on the party of all parties, a wedding feast, a banquet for his son. And the reason for the celebration is because his son, the king's son, is about to be united with his people, the church, the kingdom people, the people of his kingdom. And they're going to be united with him for eternity. Every man, every woman, every child that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's going to be this incredible union, a marriage ceremony, a marriage reception that is going to take place. And this is going to be what this party is about. And so Jesus, what he's doing is he's looking forward to this final judgment. And he tells this story about a king who sends out this mass invitation to all kinds of various people, saying, come and be a part of this celebration. It's going to be fantastic. I want you to be there. I want you to partake in this. I want you to be invited. I want you to be involved in what's going to happen. It's going to be incredible. It is going to be the most joyous occasion, the most amazing wedding reception you've ever seen. And so he sends out his people. He sends out his messengers. And we're going to look at this a little bit more in depth here. And I want you to notice something, church, that the king sends out his messengers. The king sends out his bondservants, the people who have chosen to be his instruments, chosen to be his kingdom instruments, chosen to say, God, you've been so awesome to me You've shown such great benevolence in my life. You've done amazing things in my life. It is my joy to do whatever you wish. What would you have of me?" And so he sends out his messengers, and he sends them out to personally reach out to all the people that this invitation went out to. A mass invitation has been sent out, and he sends his servants to follow up on that invitation. He says, "The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." He sends out his bondservants to personally reach out to those who were already invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sends out other servants, and he says to them, "Tell those who were invited," the invitations that had already gone out, "See, look, I've prepared my dinner, the feast, my oxen, my fat calves, everything's been slaughtered, everything's ready, this party's going to happen. Come and be a part of this wedding feast." And so we see here that the king has made his intentions known. There's going to be an awesome celebration. There's going to be an awesome feast. An awesome party's about to happen. I'm footing the bill for this thing. It's going to be incredible. I want you all to be there. And it's sent out to a certain group of people. Now, it's important to remember that he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the religious leaders at this time. And he's being blunt. He's being direct in their face. And this is a follow-up from how direct he was just a few minutes ago, when he said the kingdom of God is going to be stripped from your hand, and God is going to entrust it into the hands of other people who are actually going to produce the type of righteousness that God is looking for. And so he's looking them in the face, and these people who have distorted the truth, he's talking directly to them, the people who have corrupted the impact of the gospel, and they've blinded the eyes of the people. They've blinded them so much with how to live by the law and how to do right by the law, and they couldn't even see grace when it was standing right in front of them talking to them. That's how blind they were. And Jesus is saying here that's this invitation. This invitation was sent out to you. It was sent out to you. It was yours. You were going to inherit the kingdom of God, but it was rejected. The RSVP was that you refused, that you had better things to do. They were not willing to come. And they refused the invitation. In Luke's record of this, in chapter 14 of Luke, he goes even a little deeper, and he says that when the invitation went out, the RSVPs were that they actually made light of the invitation. They actually made light of it, and they made excuses. "I got better things to do. I got my farm to look after. I've got my business to look after. I've just got better things to do than to be caught up in that." And that's what Jesus is expressing here. And he's warning them through this story that God was going to punish the Jewish leaders. And he's being so blunt to them that this kingdom is going to be stripped from their hands, and that God is going to give the inheritance of his kingdom to a bunch of people that they would not even be on their radar. The outcasts. The people who were ceremonially unclean. Just the dirty, unworthy people who don't live by the law. And he was saying to them that the kingdom of God is going to be handed and entrusted to what is seemingly the lowest of people. For they are going to truly produce the righteousness that God was expecting. It's not a righteousness that is produced by works. It's not a righteousness that is produced by what you do and the good things that you do. It's not a righteousness that is based upon how well you keep the law, but it's a righteousness that comes only through grace. Based on a righteousness that comes only through grace. And so after this blatant refusal, after the RSVPs come back and they say, "No thanks, but no thanks, I got better things to do. I don't want to be a part of it." I love this about God. He sends the invitation out again. He repeatedly, encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter, and you see it all throughout Scripture, right? Where God is just pushing his loving kindness and just demonstrating his loving kindness to the world and to the people of the world, and sending invitation after invitation after invitation. That's the goodness and the graciousness of God, isn't it? And so the king sends out his bondservants once more, and this time it looks different. This time the invitation goes out to strangers. This time the invitation goes out to outsiders. And we pick it up in verse 8. He says, And the king said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready. I'm putting this party on. I'm footing this bill. It's going to be amazing. But those who I invited were not worthy. So go, my servants. Go, my bondservants. Those of you who've chosen to live your life with me, who are attached at the hip with me. Go, therefore, to the main roads. Go to the busy intersections and the highways where people from every nation are crossing paths. And go and invite to the wedding feast as many people as you can find. And the servants went out to the roads, and they gathered all whom they could find, both bad and good. And so the wedding hall was filled with guests. And so God in this moment is extending his invitation to everybody else. The outcast, the seemingly unworthy, the beggars, the poor, the crippled. And God is saying, look, since they rejected my promises, here, I'm giving it to the Gentiles. I'm giving it to all of you Gentiles. Here are my promises. Here's my goodness. Here's my benevolence. Here's my eternal blessing. Here's my eternal life. It's available to all who would receive it. I'm inviting you to be a part of this. I'm inviting all of humanity to be a part of this. And so what happened now is that because of the rejection of this invitation, God offers and extends this invitation to anyone who receives it, to a bunch of Gentiles like you in this room. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful for the grace of God. And here's what I want you to see, church. This is where it applies to us. I want you to embrace this. This is the message for us this morning. I want you to see that God's Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is sending out an invitation to the world over and over and over and over and over again to every man, woman, and child, giving every man, woman, and child encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter with his goodness and his loving kindness. And he's sending out this invitation to all of humanity, and he's calling them to share in the joy of the salvation that he offers, to be a part of this wedding feast, to be a part of this banquet. And the beauty of this is that the invitation to salvation that is being announced by the servants of the king. That's where you come in. The invitation is sent out from the king, and he sends out his bondservants, his kingdom messengers, his kingdom servants, those who are said, God, I'm attached to you at hip for eternity. Because of your goodness to my life, I will give you all of my life. And he says, okay, to you guys, I want you to go out, and I want you to spread yourselves out everywhere, and I want you to go to the busiest of places. Go to where people congregate. Go to where the people are the beggars, they live, they sit, and the poor people and the homeless people, they sit for money from everybody coming, and where they're asking for money and stuff like that. Go those places. Reach out to them and extend my invitation to them. And so this invitation to salvation, church, is distributed by you. You. You are the carriers of this. You are the carriers and the distributors of this message. That the Spirit of God is literally speaking his eternal truth through you as you say, here is my life. Here am I, O God. Use me in whatever capacity you wish. I am your messenger. I am here for your kingdom. Where would you like me to go? Who would you like me to talk to? Where would you send me? And so I want you to see, church, this morning that you are instruments of the kingdom. You are instruments of the king. And when you share your story and you testify and you bear witness to the hope and the glory of God, God is actually using you for his eternal purposes. And I love this because essentially you are a forerunner to those people. And you are declaring and you are bearing witness with your story of how God has taken you from a mess in life and redeemed your life. And here you are now where he's working and his grace is being just infused in your life on a daily basis. And you're receiving his mercy and your love and his grace and his kindness and his compassion. Now you testify of that. This is what you carry, and this is what he's saying here. The king is going to send you out. A bunch of people who were messy, and the grace of God came and infused that mess. And I want you to go out to people who are also a mess, who are also a mess. Go to the mess and show them what my grace can do. Show them what my grace has done for you. Share with them my promises of my eternal life and the blessings of my eternal life. You are a forerunner. You are a precursor to the rule and the reign of God over all things. And he sends his servants over and over and over again and over again. We have this incredible task, church. I want you to embrace this truth this morning. You have this privilege. We get to do this for the King. We get to be the people who carry this amazing hope and share it and distribute it to the world. The message that there is a King who's going to have an awesome party one day where you and I are going to inherit his kingdom and all the goodness that is involved in that, and that he's inviting everybody else to have share in the same inheritance. That is awesome news. That is awesome news. And then we come to verse 11. Awesome party. God's inviting everybody. And then it seems to be like, whoa. Just kind of like a hit in the story. And Jesus is direct here. And we see this part of the invitation that though people are, the invitation is going out to a mass quantity of people. It's going out to every man, woman, a child. It does not guarantee that they're going to inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't guarantee that they're going to be able to enjoy the benefit of this party. And Jesus draws a clear line in the sand as to what qualifies you and I to be in the presence of the King. And it says here, it says, when the King comes into the room, he came into the room, the King, and he looked at the guests, and he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to the man, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And the man had nothing to say. He couldn't speak. He was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, all right, now bind him up, hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness, into that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so there's a clear line drawn here, right? Where Jesus is saying, look, there's going to be a fate of one or two ways for people. There's going to be a fate of one or two ways. One way is that you are going to have this eternal, conscious life with Jesus, full of the blessings of God, full of the inheritance of the King. And you're going to bask in that for all of eternity. You're going to understand, you're going to have full joy and peace and hope. No, you won't need hope when it's all done, said and done. But you're going to have love and kindness of God, the gentleness. You're going to know this on an everyday, awesome basis. Right now here on earth, we have a foretaste of that. We just get to taste it. But one day, the Bible says that God's going to be all things and all things, and this thing's going to be consummated in the final judgment where Jesus is, and the heaven is actually going to come to earth, and heaven is going to inhabit earth, and this is going to be the dwelling place of God, and it's going to be incredible and awesome. And so that's one fate, and Jesus is putting a line in the sand. He's saying, but there's going to be another fate. There's no middle ground here. There's no gray area. It's either this or this. And the other fate is that people are going to be cast into outer darkness. Why is it going to be dark there? Because God is the source of light. And so people are going to be cast into outer darkness, separated from the presence of God. We use the words heaven and hell. And this is what hell is. Are you ready? It's to be completely separated from the God who is every source of everything that is good. The God who is the source of everything that is true. The God who is the source of all joy and hope and peace and love and gentleness and kindness and compassion. And just the list goes on and on and on and on and on. To be separated from that is to be completely separated from that. And so what hell is a place that there is no light. It's dark because God's not there. It is a place where there is absolutely not a morsel of joy. Absolutely not a morsel of love or peace. It is a place of utter despair, utter hopelessness, utter despondency, a place of hate. And that's all you feel is hate because there is no love there. Separated from everything that God is, all the goodness of God, that is hell. That is hell. And so Jesus is drawing a line in the sand here, and he's saying, look, for those of you who want to be a part of this awesome feast, this incredible party that the King is putting on, is determined by one thing: your wedding attire. It's determined by what you wear. but it's determined by what you wear. Have you ever been, we've all been to a ton of weddings, right? It just, you go through life and you go to countless amounts of weddings, and on the invitation, you know, there's an RSVP there, and then there's a dress code, and by the dress code it says, you know, black tie wedding, or it's going to be, I just went to a wedding this earlier this month, a close friend of mine, and the dress code was, said this, comfortable. And underneath it, it said in parentheses, it's going to be, there will be volleyball. All right, so you kind of like, and you know those times when the hour or two before the wedding, or even for women, probably like weeks prior, that the amount of time that you spend, what am I going to wear to this wedding? Is it going to be a fancy, fancy wedding? Is it, what does comfortable mean? That is a big interpretation, comfortable. I actually texted him. I said, dude, comfortable for me is like basketball shorts and a t-shirt. Am I all right to roll up in that, you know? He says, absolutely yes. And so we get to this wedding, right, and everybody, there's such an array of just a tie wedding attire. There are people just done up into their GQ form, right? They're all done up nice, and they're just strutting it along. And then there's people in like ripped jeans and cut-off shirts, and it was just incredible. And I know what the message that they were saying was that, hey, come and celebrate as you are, you know? Come and celebrate as you are. I know that there was a message behind that. But here we have Jesus who's setting a line, drawing a line in the sand, and he's saying, hey, look, it's going to go one of two ways. And if you want to be a part of this incredible celebration, if you want to be a part of this feast, if you want to celebrate and have all the benefits inherit the kingdom of God, then what are you wearing? What clothes are you wearing? And so we see here that it's that to be a part of this wedding feast and this banquet, it's based on the king's terms. We get to enjoy it based on the king's terms, not our own terms. And so God's demand, and what I love about this is that what God requires for us to be wearing on that very day, he sent in Jesus Christ to provide that clothing for us. What God requires is perfect righteousness in his presence, right? To be completely holy and perfect in his righteousness. But not a single one of you can do that. No matter how hard you try, not a single one of you can be in the presence of God because you're not perfectly holy and righteous. But that's why he provided Jesus Christ, right? To be that substitute for us. And the Bible says that for our sake, for your sake, God made Christ, the man who knew no sin, and he made him to be sin so that you and I could be made in the righteousness of Christ. God did all the work for you through Jesus Christ. That's an incredible, incredible grace. For your sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin so that in him you may become the righteousness of God. And so what we see here this morning, church, is that the appropriate wedding attire for this awesome banquet is to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Not based on anything you could do to earn it. It is simply by grace. Simply because of his benevolent love for you. Simply because you are his creation. And when he sees you, he sees an awesome masterpiece. And he says, I want you to be a part. I want you to celebrate with me for all of eternity. I want you to be a part of it. Come on, everybody. Come and be a part of this and take my inheritance. What God requires, Jesus provides. But the thing that we have to see here, I want you to see here just a moment, is that God said, Jesus says here that many are called, but few are chosen, right? And so what I've begun to understand about this word chosen is that it's a reciprocation of chosenness. Like he could choose me, but true chosen, to be really chosen, is when I reciprocate that and I choose you. I choose to take on that who you've made me and to take on the identity that you've given me. I choose to actually put on the garment of righteousness. I choose to put on that garment of Christ Jesus in my salvation. I choose to wear that. I choose to live side by side with you. I choose to get caught up in your kingdom work. I choose to be hip and hip with you. I choose to be your bondservant. He says, many are called, many are invited, but only few are reciprocating what that is. Only few reciprocate that. And so it says here that though the invitation goes out to many, not every man, woman, and child is going to be guaranteed this inheritance. That it's only based upon the clothing that you're wearing on that day. When you come face to face with the king, what will you be wearing? What will you be wearing? And a lot of people don't like this, the exclusivity, this line in the sand. For a lot of people, this is unfair, this is unjust, but I hope you see this morning that this is the reality of this is that it's actually perfect justice taking place. It's perfect righteousness at work. The Bible says that in Christ, God reconciles the world to himself, makes us right with himself, and he doesn't count your sins against you, but instead, the Bible says, is that God actually assigns the perfect, sinless, righteous life of Jesus to your life. Come on. That's the God that we're worshiping. That's the God that we praise. That's the God that we serve, the God that we live for, the God that we give ourselves completely to. That's who this God is. Doesn't count our sins against us, but instead he gives us the righteousness of his Son. Somebody say amen, please. Amen. The bottom line is that if anyone wants to come to him and spend eternity in his presence, that we have to come to him on his own terms. It's about the wedding attire that you show up on wedding day of. What are you wearing on that day? Can I ask the worship team to come on up, please? And I would love to finish this service and close the service out singing that incredible hymn that we just sang a few moments ago, Jesus, our living hope. Amen? Because what I'm saying is good news. This is as good news as it gets. And church, here's what I want you to leave here with. I want you to embrace this as we finish up this morning's message. There's two kind of responses to this message. And the message for the two ways that we can respond to this. Number one, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, if you have RSVP'd to this invitation to spend eternity with him, and you said, God, here I am, here's me, with a big old cheesy smile on your face. You did that for me? Okay, here's my life. I'm all yours now. Here I am, God. Here's my life. Right? Embrace this kingdom work that he's called you to. Embrace this work that God has assigned you, his bondservants. These people who have reciprocated this chosenness and said, I choose to give you everything, God. And so the one way you respond to this message is this morning, embrace that kingdom work. And I'm going to pray for us in that moment, about that in just a moment. I want you to embrace this, that God is extending his invitation to the world through you. The Spirit of God is sending in a mass invitation to the world, and you are alive today to be about his kingdom work. You are alive today to be his bondservant, his messengers of his kingdom, to carry the hope and distribute the hope that you've been given. And he says to go out to the places where people congregate. Church, when you leave here, spread out. Go to the neighborhoods that you live in. Go to your workplaces. Go to your families. And distribute this hope that you have. Let people know that there is a God who loves them and that extends this invitation to them. Let people know the hope that you have. Be ready and be prepared for those conversations. Paul talks about that, doesn't he? Be ready and prepared to talk about it. Be ready and prepared to defend for the hope that you have, that you professed. Be ready, prepared, church, in your home and in your personal life. Be ready in this church. Be prepared. Be ready. Because the King is sending you out today. The King sends you out. He sends you out in your story. He sends you out with your story. He sends you out with your context. He doesn't send you out with my context. He sends you out in the way that he's rescued your life. And what he's rescued you from, and the context and what that looked like for your life. Every single one of us has a different background. Every single one of us has a different context of our upbringing. And he sends you out in that context. His story invading your story. And he says, this is my story now. I'm actually taking your story and I'm placing it into the pages of my story. Here's a story of Anthony. Here's the story of Steve. Here's the story of Jody. Here's the story of Russ. Here's what I've done. Here's my grace in there. Take your story and share it with people. Cast it out. Go. and follow up with God's invitation in people's life. Embrace that this morning. You know, the Bible says that God is appealing, is making his appeal through us, through you. I love that. God makes his appeal through you. He's appealing to the world. He's appealing to your family members, to your sister, to your brother, to your children. God is appealing to them, and he does it through you. God is making his appeal to this world through you. He does it through you. He says in Revelation 14 that the Holy Spirit and the church actually are partnering together, extending this invitation to the world. They're extending this invitation to the world. You work with the Holy Spirit. You partnered with him. He's in your life. And so I want you to embrace this, church, that you are God's appeal to every man, woman, and child. You are God's appeal to every man, woman, and child on this earth to repeatedly give them encounter, give them repeated opportunities to embrace the salvation offered that he is offering to them. I don't know about you, but I was telling this in the first service that it took many, 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 many people of God who have said, God, I'm your bondservant, send me out. And they personally reached out to my life, and over repeated encounters of God's loving kindness through his people that have already encountered him and who are already going to be at that wedding feast one day. It was their repeated encounters in my life where I finally got to that day where I was like, oh my goodness, this is for real? This is what you're offering me? God, I'm all in, man. Make me one of these people. I want to be at that party. I want to be at that wedding feast. I want to be at that banquet. I want to be there at that celebration one day. It's going to be an awesome future. You have an awesome future, church. If you carry the garment, if you choose to wear the garment of righteousness in Jesus Christ, you're future is bright and awesome, and it cannot even compare to anything that you've ever experienced. We only have a foretaste on this earth. So that's one way to respond. The other way to respond to this morning is that to accept this invitation. If you're here this morning and you've never RSVP'd to this invitation, and or maybe you have RSVP'd and so far your RSVPs have been thanks but no thanks, God. Sounds like it's going to be a good time, but I got important other things to do. I got to take care of this down here on earth. I got this in front of me. I've got to deal with this. This is my world. Thanks. If you've RSVP'd and you refuse and rejected it, man, God is offering you this invitation again. And today may be just another day where God is reminding you that this invitation goes to you, that he sent his son to die on the cross and to spill his blood for your salvation so that you could spend eternity with him and to experience for eternity the fullness of who he is, the fullness of his goodness, the fullness of his love, the fullness of his joy and his peace and his righteousness for eternity. This invitation goes out to you, anybody who is listening right now, anybody who can hear my voice right now. It goes out to your friends, your neighbors, and everybody. God is sending this mass invitation out. And you have an opportunity today to RSVP, yes, I'll be there, and I will be wearing the garment of Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning and you want to do that, I want you to come and find me after the service. I'm going to be up front here. And I want you to just walk up here and talk with me. Anthony's going to be up here as well. And if you want to RSVP, we're going to walk you through that. There's simply a step, just a confession of your heart, a confession of who you are before God and before man, that God honors that. And he says, okay, you're in, man. You're in. Now start walking in my ways. Walk in the ways, and I will be gracious to you along the way. That invitation is offered to you this morning if you would like to receive it. And we're going to end singing that powerful song, that powerful hymn that we sang just a moment ago. I want to remind you that when that day of final judgment comes and that final battle comes, the Bible says in Revelation that the Lamb is going to defeat it all. The king is going to be king on top of the throne. He's going to defeat them all. And it says in Revelation 17, 14, that those whom he called, those who he invited personally by name, and it goes on to say that those who he has chosen, and we understand that as being a reciprocation, where I choose also. He says, those who are called, those who are chosen, and those who remain faithful to him will be with him on that victorious day. Church, do you know you have an awesome hope this morning? Would you stand with me? Would you sing with me this song as our worship team leads us through that? And church, I hope you leave here understanding how, I hope you leave here and just assured of your faith. I hope your faith has been encouraged. I hope your hope has been elevated this morning. Because this is a God who loves you. This is a God who loves you. I hope you heard the words that I've said this morning. And I want you to leave here knowing that God has called you. He's purposed you to be alive in this very moment to be about this awesome privilege and this awesome kingdom work. He sends you out today. Church, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, sends you out. It's your task. It's your privilege. It's what we get to do. Embrace it this morning. Heavenly Father, just pray with me, church. Lord God, we stand before you, positioned before you. Those of us who received this invitation in RSVP'd saying, yes, I receive and I want to be there on that wedding day, on that great, awesome day. Lord, today we choose to wear that righteousness of Christ. We choose to put on that garment of righteousness. Lord God, I thank you for providing everything that we needed that you require to be in your presence through Jesus Christ. I thank you. God, it just brings so much joy to my heart to know that I'm going to be spending eternity with this incredible God who acts such incredible ways that we've heard all throughout this service, that we've sung about. I get to spend eternity with you. What awesome. And God, I thank you for this reminder today that you have called me and that you've called every single person who calls Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And that you've invited us personally and that you actually send us back out to the people who are seemingly unworthy, seemingly unfit, seemingly a mess. And you say, go and share with them your story. And so, God, I pray for a boldness to come over this body right now. A boldness to come over your people of the kingdom right now who stand right here. God, a boldness and a courage and a strength that says, God, and embraces the fact that you are sending us out with all the authority of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ that covers our lives. You send us out in that authority. God, I pray for an increased amount of boldness today. To send us out to go about the work that you've called us to. Lord, would you give us the wisdom and the discernment in the moment to know how to say things, know how to talk to these people, know how to communicate this awesome hope that you have given to us, that we have, and that we are so assured of, and that we're so confident of. God, I pray that you send this people out today in a full amount of confidence. Not, God, a shy and bashful hope, but a confident hope, your word says, that we have in Christ Jesus. A hope that elevates our spirit. It elevates us in boldness and strength to go about the work that you have done, called us to. And God, I pray for every single person here who has RSVP'd so far up until this point in their life. Thanks, but no thanks. God, I pray that you increase their burden for this, to want to be a part of this awesome, joyous occasion and banquet one day. Holy Spirit, you are moving in a mighty way in this land. You are moving in a mighty and incredible way in this church. You are moving in a mighty and incredible way in 2018 at this very moment in all of eternity. And Lord God, we simply embrace it and we say, take us along for the ride. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people say with confidence,
amen.
and amen. And say it again.
Amen.
And one more time. Amen. Sing this song with us. Thank you, worship team.